The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Today we'll be listening to the Gospel of Luke and talking about how to give thanks. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
The Helpers of God's Precious Infants celebrate a pro-life mass every third Saturday at 8 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, 710 South 19th Street in Corpus Christi. The purpose of the Mass is to not only pray for the mortal souls of the 60 million lives that were not allowed to be lived and those who have otherwise been affected by abortion, but to seek God's forgiveness and help in changing hearts and minds. Following Mass, you're invited to join the faithful in praying the Rosary in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel at St. Joseph's. Brunch and fellowship will conclude the morning's events. For more information, please call 361-960-6050.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm enjoying this lovely weather.
Yes.
Glad that fall is in the air.
It's been quite crisp the last week. It's been nice.
It has Very nice.
And, of course, the humidity's been down, which has been extra nice.
Yes, well, we just wish that we had 9 months of the year like this.
Right. Well,
versus our summers.
Being from Southeast Texas, I know what you're talking about.
Well, this morning we have our gospel from Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear the gospel this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, as I was reviewing this information and looking through my lector book, it said something in there that I thought was interesting. It said that, you know, the lepers didn't need to be cured, that they were already believers because of the way that they had a double salutation. They called Jesus Jesus, and then they called him Master.
Right. You know, and it's that very possibly could be the way that they addressed him. Because otherwise it would have been something more like teacher or rabbi or something, a holy person. But having these titles could mean that they were already connected to Jesus in some way. It's very possible that that is true.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And how unexpectedly it was that the hero, or quote-unquote hero in the story, was the Samaritan. You know, who was the only one who came back to give thanks for his healing.
Sure, and that's, of course, someone who would not have been so much a part of the faith, or somebody on the outside, you might say, kind of on the fringes of the society. And you remember Jesus also met the woman at the well, was a Samaritan woman, and the one who actually picked up the man who was robbed and beaten, the Good Samaritan, right. was also a Samaritan. So he uses these people that are kind of on the fringe of society to almost, this may be a strong word, but almost shame those who right. say they have faith or they follow the faith at the time of Jesus, at the Jewish faith. So it could be, as we have also in the church, we have people that may be going all the time, and yet, you know, when it comes down to the concrete expressions, may ignore the needs of others. So it's always interesting that it's the Samaritan person who comes back, or right. who does the act of charity, or the one that really encounters Jesus and sees her life changed by him. So it's always an interesting twist on these gospel stories that the person who's most affected is really kind of somebody on the fringe.
Yeah. And the what I read out of this gospel was that talking about Thanksgiving and how we need to give thanks for the blessings that come our way.
Right. And I, you know, I've been thinking and looking at this gospel myself. And, you know, when you look at these lepers, these 10 lepers calling out to Jesus, it was because they had a need.
Right.
And an interesting point is, you know, when you're in need, you stick together. And here we have 10 lepers who are kind of together on the side of the road, and they call out together. What brought them together was their need for healing and their leprosy. And, you know, I think maybe a stretch of the imagination sometimes, but when people face adversity or face a difficulty together, they put aside their differences. They put aside their squabbles or maybe their misunderstanding of one another, and they stand together. I mean, you know, when there's a hurricane sometimes, or there's some kind of a disaster, we come together.
Right.
And that's because we have need. Mm-hmm. But isn't it true when that need is gone, we just go back to our normal way of life? And in this particular situation of giving thanks, I think this plays out so much in our life that when we need something and we perhaps receive something from a family member or a friend or even from God, we're very thankful. And we may even make promises that I'll be thankful for the rest of my life. And then time goes on and we forget the need, we forget where we were, and therefore we forget to give thanks. Mm-hmm. And so who knows in the story here what the other 9 got involved in. Maybe they rushed home and were so excited about their healing that they forgot very quickly where that healing came from. That, of course, also brings us to the image of the Eucharist, which is for us, as we celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass every day, every Sunday, it is our thanksgiving. For what?
Right.
It's a thanksgiving that the Father sent his only Son to die on the cross for us, to give his life for us, and for us to remember that, mm-hmm. to not forget. He's given us the Eucharist, those simple forms of bread and wine, which become his body and blood for us to celebrate so that we do not forget. And of course, even the Jewish literature and liturgy say, remember, O Israel. In other words, don't forget the benefits of the Lord. Don't forget the salvation that has been given to you. And for us as well, don't forget. And so that's, Eucharist means thanksgiving as we return to the Mass this Sunday. It is to give thanks.
Right.
It's not just me as a, in a sense, the leper, which we, in a degree we all are, crawling to Jesus, mm-hmm. but it's also coming to say thank you. It's that return visit.
Right.
For all that's happened this past week, mm-hmm. To say thank you and not to forget.
Right. You know, the last line of this was that, you know, has none but the foreigner returned to give thanks to mm-hmm. God? Then he said, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder what's going to happen to the other 9. You know, that's, well, he's saying, you came and said thanks, but I can't guarantee salvation right. for the other 9. That's right. the way I interpreted it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, of course, you know, only God knows the heart of anybody. Right. None of us can condemn anybody. But in this case, your faith has saved you. And isn't it interesting, though, I think another twist on that is that faith and thanksgiving right. go together. Because mm-hmm. He didn't say, stand up and go because you returned to give thanks.
Right.
It's because your faith really motivated you to come and give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And now your thanks has expressed your faith.
Right.
And for us too, you know, faith is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so often we take that for granted, that that we believe and we live our faith and it's just something that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And when we forget to be thankful, even for our faith, we can lose sight of that gift that it is from Almighty God. And so it's always important that we remember that faith is a gift. It's something very delicate. Faith is not something that's a ritual,
right?
You know, or a certain set of prayers that we may say, or a certain way of acting, but it's a day-to-day response
mm-hmm.
to the events of the day. A very kind of just draws to mind. Yesterday, I walked in to my room, and I was away for a couple of days, and had not been in the house. And as I walked in, one of my favorite ceramic statues was hanging on the wall, but either through a door that was closed too hard or something, I could have done it myself when I left the other day. But it had fallen from the wall and cracked.
Oh,
you know, and those are very small things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the moment, it wasn't so
right,
small.
Right, exactly.
But when you look at it, it's a very small thing. But how do we respond to those things? You know, we could lose faith. That certainly, I wouldn't lose faith over that. But just to make a point, how we can easily lose faith, or lose heart, or lose charity, or even lose hope.
Right.
And when we lose those three, we either lose faith, hope, or charity. Somehow, in all of that, we've forgotten to give thanks. Because thanksgiving, returning and saying to God, thank you, keeps our faith, our hope, and our charity alive. Otherwise, we think it depends on us, and it does not.
Right.
And so we always need to remember that thanksgiving is so linked to our faith.
And giving thanks is not something that needs to be complicated. It can be something that we say in our prayers before we go to sleep, or in the morning when we wake up, or as we're driving to work.
Driving to work, I was just going to say,
yeah.
On the way to work, or in the moment, you know,
right.
The moment that something happens. And we do get shocked, and we do probably turn inward and think of ourselves and how this is going to affect our life, and my beautiful statue is not going to be on the wall anymore,
mm-hmm.
and all those remorses that we have. But in the moment, and that's kind of what happened last night, you just kind mm-hmm. of stop in your tracks and say, you know, yes, it's a statue. It's a
right.
beautiful one that I really like, but I'm not going to lose my faith. And so you kind of smile at God and say thank you for a little test,
because mm-hmm.
these are little tests that we have in life. And, of course, many of us, I'm sure many in our listening audience, have bigger tests than that mm-hmm. they're living through right now. But I would encourage all of you never to stop, but to, in those moments, in the trials, to say thank you. Thank you for my faith. Thank you for the ability to love, and thank you for hope.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps all the blessings He's given us.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Bishop Michael Mulvey invites the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi and visitors to the area to a weekly prayer, fasting, and adoration each Wednesday in Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Holy Eucharist is exposed in Holy Hour, and adoration begins at 6 p.m. Because of social distancing, seating is somewhat limited. For those unable to attend, Holy Hour and Adoration is live streamed via Cathedral and KLUX Facebook sites, along with the diocesecc.org/faithservices, YouTube. Just search Diocese of Corpus Christi. Bishop Mulvey personally leads Holy Hour and Adoration the second Wednesday of each month. Again, all are invited to participate in the Holy Hour and Adoration each Wednesday, 6 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral, Video presentations are a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, we were talking about giving thanks and thanksgiving, and I had read in the Catechism, and it said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being faithful in it with thanksgiving." It kind of sums it up nicely, doesn't it?
It does, you know, to give. Of course, why do we pray? But that we are in need.
Right.
And again, I guess we go back to one of the first things that we were saying, that when we forget that we have need, when we become so self-sufficient is when we forget that we have need, we don't need God, and therefore we don't need to give thanks, and we don't need to pray. So once we eliminate God from our experience of life or our life itself, once we eliminate God, all these other things are superfluous, really.
Right.
And we know that anyone that lives life a life of faith, we know that's not true.
Right.
We need God always.
Yes, we do, definitely. Well, kind of doing a transition when we've talked about Thanksgiving and needing God, October is Respect Life Month. And so it's a lot to think about. I mean, it's the beginning of life, it's during your life, and it's the end of life.
Right, and it's really not kind of taking a different direction of what we're just talking about, really is at the heart of it. So,
Well, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, that's not a correction. That's just kind of a
transition. Right.
You know, to something that's so important to us and will be more and more important to us. And I think that, you know, the church is a voice, has to be a voice. As people of faith, that we respect life in all of its expressions. You know, I can never help but remember those words of Jeremiah, and you find it periodically in both the Jewish scripture, the Old Testament, as well as for us, that in my mother's womb you knew me, in my mother's womb you destined me. Mm-hmm. I believe even St. Paul kind of refers to that. So we never know what a life is going to be. And so it is so important to respect the life that is ours, even before the birth, you know, into physical life.
Right.
Even in our mother's wombs, we are destined for life, and so we have to be thankful as a mother is and should be thankful, you know, at the moment of conception, and to be thankful and protect that life, you know. Always, because, you know, one of the I think we could just maybe reflect on a few aspects, maybe not in such a methodical way on Respect Life, but just certain things. One of the things I think that's really fuels the anti-life or attitude of many is a whole sense of individualism, you know, that it's all about me, what I want, what my rights are. And we have forgotten the very root of what we would consider being created in God's image, that life is also communitarian. There is a profoundly communitarian dimension to our life, meaning that from my mother's womb, you knew that I would have effect on other people's lives. It's not just about me and this one single life. If we take that approach, then it doesn't matter. One life's as good as another, and, you know, nothing special. And so God loves all life and has in some way woven all human life together. And so even that one life in a mother's womb has a destiny to impact, to affect, to be a part of a larger community of people. If we only see it as just a single life, and unfortunately some even don't even see it as a life,
right.
But it is a life that will impact others. And that is profoundly a part of our, not just our faith life, but our human life. None of us is an island, as we are reminded in poetry. We all belong. And even that life in the womb at the moment of conception belongs to the human family and belongs to a plan for others. And so we have to to always keep that in mind. And that's why the more we see that, the more we are thankful for that life coming to fruition at the moment of natural birth.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about it several times when you talk about gathering together the communion of
exactly.
all of us. So I guess
right.
that would, of course, link in with...
Right, and it's also, I think it's not by mistake that in theological circles and also spiritual circles, that theology, I shouldn't say circle so much, but theology, but we're really looking at the communal dimension of our life and our spiritual life. It's not just about God and me.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that's there. I have to have a personal, intimate, profound relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, but it's also communal because we belong to a communion of saints. Rediscovering that part of our faith will bring us to a new appreciation of each life, that it's interconnected with others. And I think this can really convince us more of a respect for human life. At the same time, at the end of life, and I think unfortunately we're going to find more, in fact it's coming up this year in certain parts of our country, on the other end is a push for assisted physician-assisted suicides,
mm-hmm.
as if life at the other end of the spectrum is not worth living,
mm-hmm.
because there's suffering, because there's an illness, and we've seen these debates right. happening. But again, we forget the communal dimension. The theme of the bishops, that the bishops have given us for this month for Respect Life, is that the measure of love is to love without measure.
Oh, that's nice.
To love without measure. And once we see that a life is unimportant or that a life is burdensome, even my own, we have forgotten really that love is at the very core of this. How many times have we seen and admired, and I say admired, people who have been committed to, say, a husband or a wife, who at the end of life, maybe for two or three even more years, or a son or a daughter, or vice versa, son or daughter to their mother or father, who have committed themselves to that person's illness and for that person's life, in some cases without complaining.
Right, that's exactly
it draws
right.
something out of us that is almost superhuman, which is divine, and that is what's being drawn out is love. And so if, because I myself may feel life's not worth it, worth living, or someone else, and I promote that other way of taking away life, I'm taking away the opportunities to love, either from myself, from my family members. And the more we do that we take away the opportunities to express love to one another, we become selfish and we turn in on ourselves. And everything is then directed toward the individual,
right.
toward the me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in this discovery of the communal way of life, we have to look at God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. God exists as a trinity of persons, not for self, but for other. And that is a profoundly human, well, it's a profoundly divine, but translated, as Jesus brought it to us on earth in the incarnation, translated into human terms, I need you. You need me. I need my mother. I need my father. I need my friends. Why? Not so they can serve me, but that I can serve them.
Right.
And it's that service to one another that draws out the true meaning of life, which is love, and eliminating all of those possibilities of persons
mm-hmm.
who need my love, who need my forgiveness. And that's, again, going to capital punishment, you mm-hmm. know, the death penalty. No, they need our forgiveness. They need our time to help them convert and find the Lord. And once I, again, eliminate them through the death penalty, I take that need away from me and you
right.
and everybody else and a society. The society then becomes very self-serving. It's one of those webs that we weave that continues to pull us apart, not pull us together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any debate that can pull us apart more than this. The debate against life really can pull people and a society away from each other. That's another part of this whole tragedy.
Well, and there have been and will continue to be, I'm sure, for the end-of-life issues about whether you use extraordinary means or not. And I remember reading an article about 9 months ago from, at the time, Bishop Gregory Amond, who was on the committee, and he talked about a family member, I think it was, and how there is dignity in dying.
Exactly.
You know, and not to use the extraordinary means.
Sure.
And so that's part of it. I would think that is part of the whole respect life.
And he and I both, having been in Austin, we had to deal with a situation there, which was extremely painful for the family and a tragedy for the mother. But there comes a point when we try to sustain a life that is not sustainable.
Right.
And we do so by extraordinary means, meaning keeping a person attached to life support, keeping them medicated. Mm-hmm. And in this case, so medicated that the person couldn't even express the pain they were undergoing. And yet the doctors were assuring us that there was so much pain there, but because of the inability to let go and to let death and the natural death take its course, perhaps that person could have, we don't know, but could have suffered more than they need to. So, you know, the other thing, just, I know we're running out of time, but the beauty of all this is that the church is not against science. The church is not against the medical research.
Right.
But that all of that is done together with a life of faith, that we balance the two, we talk to one another. We cannot not talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk and bring the dignity of the person into the forefront, into the arena in this whole discussion of respect for life. So I would ask all of you who are listening to this month in a very special way to pray that a new dignity for human life can be established in our country and throughout our world.
Well, thank you, Bishop. If you could close this segment with a prayer.
Sure. Lord, our help and guide, make your love the foundation of our lives. May our love for you express itself in our eagerness to do good for others. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.